Well, welcome to the path forward. It is October 28th, 2 days, a couple of days before Halloween. And I did a show last night on Substack. I'm going to try and do at least one a week now for a couple of reasons. Answer questions, talk about topics that I don't want to talk about here, as well as talk about things that really are outside the normal political spectrum. You know, when I stuff. It might have crashed again. I don't know if you can hear me out there and you can actually see. I love Okay. Well, let's see if we can get this working now. Doesn't see my camera. That's awesome. Let's see. No, it doesn't see my camera. Can you guys hear me? If you can hear me, let me know. My system decided to reboot itself. Randomly decided to reboot itself. Okay, great. So we're live. I don't have a camera. I don't know why the hell that's going on, but it is what it is. It was working fine 10 minutes ago. So what I wanted to start talking about today was the actual, you know, what's the path forward from here? What is the, you know, what's the next steps given all of the political spectrum, especially the political spectrum we're seeing now with, literally everything they can go after Trump for. I mean, today I was watching Twitter, and the newest narrative is that Trump got confused and he's just as bad as Biden. I mean, whatever story they can use to sow division, they're reaching for everything. First, it was Trump's confused, then it was his third term. I mean, pick your dysfunction. It's literally anything they can go after. And his own establishment of academia was pitted against him. And they wouldn't publish, they wouldn't print any of his papers that had to do with it. If there was any kind of conjecture around aliens, I mean, our own charge of anything operational, because a matter of seconds, put them in think tanks, you let them think a theory. They are basically useless there. And if that offends some of you academics, know time and time again, and that theory does hold true. And very rare, you know, thousand, you'll see an academic that can do both operations in academia, but that typically those two don't go together. Very interesting. I mean, he talks about it could be alien. It could be an alien ship. It's behaving. And we're back. So the browser keeps closing for whatever reason and crashing. So my apologies for the dead air. But hey, it's not a show without, you know, 15 minutes of cursory IT setup. So I'm going to forego the camera and try and do this without the camera. You know, 15 minutes into a show that was only supposed to be a half an hour. So, for Tekka. Yeah, that's awesome. Let me get into Rumble here. I can't, for whatever reason, I can't see all the comments. But, so if you haven't watched Joe Rogan, go watch Joe Rogan. I think it's whatever it does in the solar system, if it's real or not, who the hell knows, but it's entertaining to say the least. And I think it's very entertaining that he's on Joe Rogan now talking about it because it's such a hot topic. And one thing he said that I do believe a couple of reasons. The public, and they've shifted it in the sense that the what the government knows, and he talks about he's finally one of the first, you know, first scientist about how the U.S. government is failing dollars a year on defense budget. We should be at least monitoring the skies. That's pretty amazing to hear them say, right? Because normally, scientists don't say anything against the establishment just because their funding comes from the establishment. All the grants that come from, you know, NGOs, foundation, et cetera, and other foundations, as well as from companies and DOD. So it's unusual for a scientist to speak out about it. I think it's even more unusual for him to carry the premise that, you know, you know, kind of still having audio issues, still. StreamYard and Rumble Blow. That's all there is to it. Seems to be working fine on my end. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's in and out. The service has been weird the last couple of days. And I don't know if everybody realized this, but both on AWS. So when AWS went down last week, all those services were down as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if AWS is still having issue. And yeah, so, but I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, nothing surprises me these days. When I first started getting all this weird feedback, I just assumed it was an attack and that there was some kind of a cyber attack going on against either AWS or StreamYard or whatever. Maybe it's just against me, who knows? I mean, I don't have my shortage of people I've probably pissed off in the government over the last 5 years of talking about government. So, but I think it's a very interesting interview with Joe Rogan. And then before that, he does an interview with Katie Sackhoff. I haven't watched that one yet. If you don't know who she is, she was in Longmire and she was in The Battlestar Galactica reboot in 04. She played Starbuck, which I always thought should be a dude. But it turned out to be actually a very good series. And I think it's interesting that the timing of all these interviews, it's like Tucker, if you're watching Tucker Carlson, the timing of all these interviews that he's doing. And look, I don't know who's behind him and who, if he's, because he's in the Trump camp. He obviously has people that are working with him to bring in all these celebrities, but he has brought in some very interesting people over the last several weeks, one of which was Cheryl Hines. She did an interview. She, if you don't know who she is, she's an actor that was on Curb Your Enthusiasm for, 24 years. When she said that, I was like, wow, 24 years on Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's literally a career in the military and to be on one show. But it's interesting. It's a very interesting interview because he spent some time asking her about, you know, if you basically, are there any, you know, douchebags in Hollywood that tried to take sexual advantage of you? And she talks about some guy that was in defeat, blah, blah, blah. I think it's very interesting, the timing of all these interviews. And I don't believe in coincidence, especially since I think I figured out the problem, by the way. It's my fucking camera, which is retarded. Just keeps coming on and off, doing its own thing. So I think I figured that out. But yeah, RFK's wife. I didn't get to that. I didn't get that far. She started talking about RFK and how they met. No, I just didn't care. I was more interested in the show. And what I'm really after is watching all the different topics that are going through the Tucker Carlson show, going through Joe Rogan, and what the narratives are developing out of that. Because remember, you've heard me talk about influencing operations for ad nauseum at this point. And usually influencing operations, you saturate all the airwaves with the same themes and messages. And I'm not seeing that right now. I'm seeing a shotgun blast of these weird themes and messages, you know, the normal orange man bad narratives, the normal Ukraine narratives, as well as I'm seeing, you know, some of the other standard narratives. But through these two shows, actually Sean Ryan's another one, I'm seeing these, you know, alternative narratives that used to be called conspiracy theories that would never get the airtime or time of day. And they're being pushed through those shows, which makes me wonder, is this just disruption operations to keep everybody frustrated and disrupted? Or is this true disclosure that they're trying to push through these shows? Because some of the things they're talking about is real disclosure, right? Now, I'm not talking about UFO disclosure. I'm talking about disclosure of how things are, you know, how things really work in the background and how Hollywood works. And, you know, they haven't got to the intelligence agencies yet, but they've skirted around the intelligence agencies. And normally if you're doing influencing operations and you want to tell people what's really going on, you literally throw whatever agency you're talking about under the bus, and you do it repeatedly on every format and every medium that you possibly can, so the word gets out. And, you know, if there were, and Tucker's got, like, I want to say he's got 20 million subs. That's a pretty sizable audience. I mean, each one of his videos gets over a million views. Sometimes his Putin interview, I think that had 3 billion views. It was just some ungodly amount of views. So obviously he's being used as a node, and he's being used as a node to push the information out for whichever faction he's working for, right? Because I at this point, I consider them factions, right? You got the City of London and the whole European faction. You've got the Chinese factions, which is, you know, California and the blue states. And I don't know if you're paying attention to what they're doing, but they're pretty active right now too. And then you have this whole, and there's a lot of people that are wrapped up in this Mindami narrative in New York City, right? And all I have to say about that is good luck. I hope I, you know, New York, if you actually let this guy get installed, then you get what you deserve, because this guy is full blown communist. And if you don't, if you're not old enough to remember the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, you should really go back and do some history lessons and educate yourself on how state-run grocery stores and state-run utilities and state-run, let's just say, mercantilism and, you know, a state-run economy actually works. It doesn't. And, you know, the thing that the signal right now in all of this is what's going on with food, because they're trying to create shortages of both food and energy across Europe and here in the US and North America. And they're working overtime. And and that's the piece which I don't know which faction, you know, who's on which faction when it comes to that, because nobody's talking about the food issue. Mary Taylor Bowden is talking about it. I think that's what her name is. Anyway, the MD, she's talking about food and food production. There's a study out on the COVID vaccines, which is being heavily suppressed. So my point of saying all that is that even if the signal's out there, people can't get to it. Like, good luck trying to find anything on the food situation right now. It's a lot of people posting in, you know, obscure areas like Substack and some of the others. It's not mainstream at all. I mean, none of it's mainstream. So even if you can get to the signal, which you can't, then there's a pretty good likelihood that you're not going to be able to discern what's really out there and what's really meaningful. But they're going after the protein supply. This has been part of their agenda for several years now. And I talked about it briefly on the show last night. And they've destroyed processing plants. They've destroyed slaughterhouses, you name it. They've run the gamut. And now you have all these major industries that are in the hands of the Chinese, as well as, don't forget, the FDA under Biden had a $500 million grant to work with China and food production facilities. And, you know, some things haven't changed from last administration. Like when Biden was in town, there was a parade of oligarchs that went into the White House and started influencing policy. So, you know, Eric Schmidt was there, Sarah Brennan was there, of course, Bill Gates was there. And all of it revolved, a lot of what they were working on revolved around the surveillance system, which now there's just a new set of malcontents that are in there. But what I see happening, especially with the protein supply, is they couldn't legislate the protein production system and industry. They couldn't legislate it into oblivion. So now what they're doing is they're just pricing it out of the market. I haven't really paid attention to this whole Argentine 40 million or 40 billion or whatever it is that they're sending down there. I really don't care. What I care about is the ranch industry here, which has been a mainstay, has been under attack for over 20 years now. And it looks to me, and all the appearances are there, that Trump is on board with whatever is going on. And I don't know who's advising him. I don't know what what the overall end state is they're trying to reach, but they're definitively to destroy the American ranching capability here. And they're definitively trying to squash the supply and create a famine. And they're probably going to do it in smaller countries like Japan, right? If you think about how far Japan has to send ships to go harvest fish, it's a lot more significant than you think. And it's been a problem for, you know, for the Japanese for years. And they're like China. They're a net importer for certain things, right? We were never a net importer for anything related to protein. We had, you know, we had a, one of the biggest supplies of pork in the world. We have one of the biggest supplies of beef, if not the biggest supply of beef in the world. And we have the biggest supply of poultry. Now, we didn't have the same standards as Europe, so our quality of poultry was less than Europe. But I would say that probably now it's at either at parity or it's declining like Europe is. And they've introduced mRNA vaccines. You know, and I literally when I took my dog in to get the rabies stuff, that was the first question I answered. Is this mRNA or attenuated? He goes, I don't do mRNA. And so, you know, he'd been asked that question before, is my point. So a lot of people are watching that, but they're rolling that out. And there's a lot of farms that have adopted it. And look, I don't know what to believe with all these people that are reporting on the results of vaccinating their livestock with mRNA. I honestly don't know, right? I don't know what to believe because there's a lot of propaganda out there, so it's hard to know what's true and what's just clickbait. So I'd be curious to see if there's even a study on how much livestock has died from just the vaccines. And I would rather imagine it's probably a significant number. So, by the way, I put the link for the silver gold flakes that Colonel Piper was talking about. Put it in the comments section of the show, so you can. That's from last Thursday, which I didn't get a chance to put it out there. But they're definitely going after the food supply. So my point is saying, talking about all of this is, if you're not stocked up on, and Troop would say wet food, not, you know, dehydrated Bitcoin. If you don't have wet food, you should probably stock up on some extra protein if you can afford it and you have the room for it. Because I have a feeling that as winter progresses, we're going to see more issues pop up and more impact of the food supply. And that's not the logistics or the supply chain. That's just the food supply. And given how tainted our food supply already is, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens if they're able to create shortages. I mean, it's already, if you haven't been to the butcher lately, Jesus, I bought two New York steaks, not even ribeyes. It was $120 for two steaks. So prices have definitely gone up. I mean, you could buy four ribeyes for like $40 at Costco 4 years ago, and now it's ridiculously priced. So I was going to talk about the whole EBT thing, and I'll just say this about EBT. Yeah, thanks, Troop. Thanks for posting that. I'll just say this about EBT. If that really happens, I don't know if it's going to be the grocery apocalypse like they think it's going to be. But what do you think is going to happen if the stores get looted? Do you honestly think that they're going to replenish and restock the stores just to watch them get looted again? Like, the powers that be don't give a shit about any of the people in the system, right? This is to me. The whole government shutdown is to avoid, you know, economic collapse. When you look at the price of gold and silver and how much it has gone up in value just in the last 6 months, it's very easy to see why the government shut down. And it's very easy to see that the powers that be have finally figured out that a high price of gold is not good for the U.S. dollar, not good for our economy. So how do you pull back from that? Well, you limit the amount of money going out the door and you create, you know, some other distraction. This is a perfect example, a perfect way to do that. And, you know, at the same time, all of that is happening and it's in your face, is now there's this SNAP EBT issue. And, you know, and there's been a, boy, I, you know, one thing I love about TikTok is there's no shortage of videos with retards. It's like every redneck in the world that shops at Walmart has the ability to make a TikTok video now. And my favorite, let me grab my lever action for this one. My favorite is this old guy on TikTok, and he's like, you know, and he's got the draw. He's even got the Southern draw too, which cracks me up to no end. Like, okay, Yosemite Sam. He's like, you come try to steal my groceries, you're going to hear three sounds. Well, really, you're only going to hear two. And the first one is this. And you won't hear the second one, but I'll hear it. So go ahead and come try it. Take my groceries. I'm like, dude, are you trying to get the FBI to show up at your doorstep? Yeah, there's just no shortage of stupid. I mean, it would have been better if you would have said something like, let's play the scary sound game. The scary sound game sounds something like this. Ooh, that's a scary sound. That's a scary sound too. I mean, come on, be creative with it. God. Just tells you how much people are just wrapped up in the nonsense. But I just, it's like Three Eye Atlas, right? It's entertainment, right? Because people just go off the deep end. Look, I don't know. I fully anticipate that they're going to come up with some kind of a deal before November 1st. And they're going to, you know, pass some kind of a budget. And usually how that goes is they get right to the deadline at 11 o'clock or 11:59. And then some Republican pussy, you know, caves and bends over and takes it up the ass and gives the Democrats whatever the fuck they want. So I fully anticipate that that's what's going to happen here. That one of these, you know, limp dick Republicans, you know, in name only, the rhinos, is going to cave and go to the other side of the aisle. And I would hope that, and by the way, one of their talking points on the left is that Trump is trying to, and of course, the whole shutdown is Trump's fault. It's not Mike Johnson's fault. It's not Congress's fault. They're all pointing fingers at each other. No, the new narrative is they're hiding the Epstein files. Mike Johnson doesn't want to release the Epstein files. Well, I would hope not, because if my theory is true and Trump is actually using the Epstein files to leverage the shit out of all these rhinos and these treasonous Republicans, then by all means, hide the Epstein files and keep it closed as long as you can and leverage the shit out of these guys, especially Lindsey Graham. I would put that guy through a shame ritual, which would make wearing, you know, a towel or a dress on TV, that would pale in comparison to what I would do to that shitbag. I would make him walk around with a diaper and a binky in his mouth, with one of those Gerber, you know, head covers on his head all day long for 365 days. He couldn't wear anything else. No coats, no shoes, nothing. Just barefoot in a diaper with the Gerber combat hat on. And guess what? And a binky in his mouth. Oh, I'd treat him. He would be the nation. I would make sure he was the biatch. So by all means, go ahead and, you know, hide those Epstein files and use it as leverage to coerce every single one of these senators that are compromised and congressmen that are compromised and keep it closed. But what I don't see is I don't see anybody pointing the finger for why it's shut down. Nobody's asking the question. It's just all the rhetoric, right? It's the, well, the Democrats want free health care for illegals and Republicans are just trying to hide the Epstein file. That's all nonsense, right? But I think the reality is the real issue is that Trump knows that he's got to bring the price of coal down and they're trying hard to suppress it. I don't know if you're listening to VBL Ghost on Twitter. His Substack is... it's Vince Lance, by the way. His Substack is Goldfix. is his Substack. If you're not following him, you should. He's a gold guy. He's like Jim Sinclair when Jim Sinclair was still around, or Jim Holter. Really, really smart. And they get the gold market. And, you know, Jim Sinclair is the guy that got me into gold, to be honest with you. My brother listened to his weekly podcast with Jim Holter, and I can't remember the other two guys who are on it, but you know, I invested in Tanzania Gold. I invested in Sprout, which is a gold fund that's based off the value of gold. I'm kind of kicking myself now because I got out of it a couple of years ago and I should have stayed in it. But the point is that I think the powers that be in DC and the bankers have figured out that they need to suppress the price of gold and bring it down so that the dollar can be valued the right way to bring in industry. And if you're not paying attention to the working economy, the other thing you're seeing right now is layoffs. So, you know, part of the layoffs, they're letting go of 30,000 people. I mean, that's unbelievable. 30,000 people. So it's affecting every industry, folks. That's the short answer. It's affecting every industry. Bill Holter, that's what it is. Thank you, man. I don't know why I have Jim on the mind, but thanks for that. I think what's interesting though is the even tech is down, right? And look, DEI is still alive and well, especially in the blue states. In the last 2 days, I've talked to a lot of I don't want to say former tech guys, because a lot of guys in tech that are getting out of tech, or at least they're adjusting in tech, because there's the job market's terrible for tech right now. And every guy I know, that white guy that's, you know, in the security industry, a lot of them are unemployed and have been for over a year. And, you know, the job market is schizophrenic already, as well as the DEI, you know, pieces are still in place for a lot of organizations. And I'll give you a case in point. I was in final stages for a company here in Phoenix. That's an extension of a French company, and they hit their budget as they were getting ready to make an offer. And they sent me a message and said, "Hey, we've had to put this position on hold. Sorry for any of the inconvenience." You know, and I figured something was coming, right? But my point is saying that is it's going to affect all of us. And the question is, when is it going to affect all of us? Because it's already affecting a lot of people in tech. It's already affecting a lot of industries. And about bringing back the shipbuilding industry and bringing back the you know, defense, of course, the defense industrial complex, as well as some of the other hard trades. I don't see that being, you know, happening in the next year or two, but maybe it is, because if they're successful at that. So one of the things that we're short of right now is all of the trades related to metallurgy, right? So, you know, guys that do welding, that do metal fabrication, you know, all those industries are hurting, right? And the question is, why did we get rid of all of those industries? I can tell you why. And I can tell you why most of the younger generations are not flocking to the trades. Number one, it's super expensive to survive, because they priced everybody out of the market related to homes because of the, you know, private equity firms buying up all the residential housing, which there's, you know, just in my neighborhood, I finally figured it out. So I took a page out of Troop's playbook, and I put myself on the ballot to be one of the HOA board members for the next year, so I can stick my boot in somebody's ass on the HOA. But I was doing some cursory research on the HOA website, and I realized that just in my little community, so there's 40 homes, 40 or 45 homes in my community, 10 of which are adult family homes. If you don't know what an adult family home is, it's basically a hospice for a privatized hospice for people that can't care for themselves. And so there's 10 of those. So there's only 30 houses that are essentially, you know, residential capable. Of those, another 8 are for sale, 7 of which are vacant. So you've got, you know, almost half of the inventory just in this neighborhood is wrapped up in either a business, a home business, or it's wrapped up in the sale process. So, and you know, prices here are unbelievably expensive. So I can see why people aren't going to the trades, but imagine the trades do come back. We are able to reestablish a middle class and a production capability. That would be a boon for the U.S. because we would be on par again with China. And again, you know, so could, with the trades comes the unions, but part of the reason why the younger generations have not flocked to the trades is very simple. Everything that they were messaged from the time they were in junior high all the way through college was, you don't want to go into a trade. There's no money in that. Go to school, get a degree, go into tech. And we didn't embrace, and we haven't embraced the trades. And I hope now we do. Because I know a guy that was he was a copper. He was a copper guy, but he's an artist is what he really was. He'd come in and make these, you know, he'd do moldings around houses. He'd do copper, what do you call it? Crown moldings. Guy was amazing. And and he would do it all by hand, right? Just amazing. And it was a work of art when he was done. I hope we get back to that. And I think, I do believe that is that we reinvigorate the trades and we reinvigorate just things like reinvigorating ranching and you know, animal husbandry. We really need to get back to the basics on that and get out of the mega farm. And what we should do, you know, is outlaw any of the mega super farms. We need to get back to privatization. I think that's the only way to go. And I think that's going to be the path forward for the country. And I don't think it's going to happen through legislation. I think it's going to happen organically. Because one of the other things that was interesting about the Avi Loeb interview, just to bring that full circle, is that he talked about how the country's hungry for real information, right? And he even talked about AI. Like, he's like, I don't mess around with AI because AI makes you dumber. Yeah, it does. And you know, his premise is spot on, right? Because he's talking about all of his students that are using AI, and you can tell the AI language when you're reading a paper. And he's saying that's just not making them smarter, and they don't read history. So I'm hoping that part of this transition we're going through brings us back to the basics. Because if you go back to the late 40s, early 50s, in fact, when we started World War II, our society was probably the healthiest on the planet. And it's because a good portion of our society was agrarian and, you know, or in the ranching business. And we had top-notch food. We didn't have big mega stores and big mega corporations tainting the food supply, controlling the logistics. It was completely done either locally or regionally. And I think we'll get back to that functionally or organically versus through legislation. And I think it's going to be out of necessity. As they start messing with the food supply, you'll start seeing communities coming together. And it's already starting to happen, because we're seeing this conversation about buying local meat, local local beef, etc. And a year ago, 2 years ago, you wouldn't have heard that. You would have heard somebody say, let's just go to Costco and get, you know, and get a bunch of meat there. And now even Costco meat is being questioned. So we're already seeing that shift happen. And I think that's got to be part of the path forward, along with revamping regulation and regulatory requirements for everything from, you know, soap to, you know, fresh water and vehicles, right? We need to get back to balance is the right word for it. Because the system's so far out of balance. I mean, it's simply put, it's going to happen because people are just fed up. And that was one of the biggest things that Loeb talks about is how fed up people are. And I agree with him. People are absolutely fed up. And they're sick of the status quo and watching oligarchs, you know, specifically there's like 10 oligarchs in this country that have most of the wealth. That should never be allowed to happen. And we have to do something about the NGOs because I talked about this in my show last night. There's another Substack that I just started paying attention to, and I gotta thank Colonel Johnson for this one. But there's a Substack called Absurdian. I think it's called Absurdian. I'm looking for it. Anyway, this gal, she does a deep dive into how Amazon or Jeff Bezos NGOs goes into a neighborhood because, again, they've architected these economic opportunity zones, which are basically tax shelters for them. And they go in and they use their NGOs to push any local businesses or competition out. And if you go back to COVID was really, it was like, and I've said this before, right? There's always multiple lines of operation when you're doing ops, right? You're never just focused on one line of operation, you know, take objective A. There's always multiple lines of operation. I think one of the lines of operation during COVID was a targeted effort to destroy as many local and regional businesses as possible to push everybody to the mega corporations. Like, I think the fucking Walmart family, they should be arrested for treason because I think they still do it. I can't say that for sure, but literally 5 or 10 years ago, they would encourage their employees to go on food stamps because their fucking pay was so miserable. And meanwhile, they're multi-billionaires and they're encouraging their employees to use food stamps and use the federal system. That to me is fucking treason. But it's the problem with the mega corporations, right? And if you go back to the turn of the century, turn of the 19th or the 20th century, when they had all the antitrust legislation going on, John D. Rockefeller took all of his wealth and threw it into all these NGOs and said he was a philanthropist. But really what he was doing was burying his money in NGOs. He still had complete control of his wealth. He still had complete control of all the NGOs. And he used all those NGOs to do his bidding. Sorry, my dog. Anyway, Gates moved into the Gates Foundation. Warren Buffett moved his Gates Foundation. It's all just a show. They still have complete control, and then they use their NGOs. And Lauren Jobs is one of the worst fucking offenders of this. She's another one that needs to be in prison for treason, but they use their NGOs to do all their political bidding. So that's how you get, you know, entire communities and school systems locked down and requiring COVID mandates. It's because the NGOs are used to leverage them and they're given, you know, financial incentives if they push the jabs. And, you know, that's just one example, but that's literally what they did. And I think part of the COVID scam was not just the vaccines, which I think were the bioweapon. I think the other part of it was to consolidate the market under all the big players, especially Amazon and the big grocery chains like Kroger and some of the others, because the cities were already taxing, you know, like Seattle's taxed Icons out of the city. In fact, I don't even know how people still operate in Seattle with the amount of taxation and stupidity in that city, but it is what it is. And they've, you know, at the same time, we were all stepping over each other, coughing each other before the, you know, the social distancing and the masking and all that other bullshit came out. We were watching entire companies go under because they couldn't operate with the COVID lockdowns. They just couldn't do it. And, you know, a lot of restaurants were able to survive and recover, but a whole lot didn't. And it's not just restaurants, entire, you know, sectors, even gun companies now, because of the Winchester case in California or the Remington case in California, the gun industry is seeing companies go out. I don't know if you know it, but Ammo Inc. went out. I mean, they had issues, quality issues and a bad reputation, but, you know, several gun have been sold. So I think there was multiple lines of operation during COVID, and I think part of it was consolidation of the mega corporations. And as far as I'm concerned, the mega corporations need to die. Like, we broke up Ma Bell back in the 70s and 80s and broke it into many pieces, and some of it turned into like McCall, which turned into AT&T. But we can never again allow the oligarch class to be, number one, above the law, and number two, to be able to operate with impunity without any oversight. We should not allow an oligarch class ever again. There's such a thing as too much money. There's such a thing as too much power. And when somebody's above the law, that's how things like this happen. And that's exactly what happened here. Just like Big Pharma. Big Pharma is above the law. They are literally untouchable. And that should not be allowed to happen under any circumstance whatsoever. And I'm not going to talk to why Trump is still pushing warp speed and all the other bullshit that he's been pushing. I don't have any answers for that. And I'm sure a big part of it is Susie Wiles, but watching this oligarch class completely, you know, decimate. And this gal in Absurdity, and she does a really good job talking about how it's done. And they all get together, these NGOs get together, and they decide which part of the country and which industry they're going to destroy next. I mean, literally, it's a controlled demolition of the country. And leads me to another piece, which is, you know, I got a lot of blowback for going after the general officers, but let me explain something to you. As a field grade officer, part of my duty is not just watching over soldiers and watching over my battalion. Part of my duty, as you know, in the cyber world, was to vet companies and look for threats to not just the nation, but threats to specific industries and specific verticals within the industries. And I was supposed to, you know, part of it was to call it out and say, this is a real threat to our society. I want to know why it is that no general officer said that these Peter Thiel or Bill Gates or any of the other oligarchs like Sergey Brin. Sergey Brin is a hardcore communist, openly working with the Chinese. Why hasn't the guy been rolled up? Why hasn't any general officer stood up and said, this guy is a problem? This guy is a threat. He's a strategic threat to the country. He's a national security threat because he's working hand in hand with the Chinese. He's invited the Chinese into this country. He's built a social scoring system in China. Why is this guy still walking free? That is a threat to national security in and of itself. And literally no general officer stood up and said to the president, hey, we should really do something about these guys. And I did. I had to sit down with a couple of two stars and I'm like, you guys really need to do something about the tech. Everything we buy comes from China. Everything China makes phones home. Why are we still buying equipment that has Chinese chips in it? Oh, well, we don't make it here. So you're accepting the loss of classified information because you don't have the stones to go tell people in Congress and go lobby to get an American-only company with American chips? We have two American companies here that build chips. Why are we not leveraging them? Last I checked, Intel was a U.S. company. Why don't we go throw some money at them and say, build some secure chips? And finally, when Trump came in his first term, he actually did something about it, right? But all of these oligarchs that are working with Big Pharma in China, they are a threat to national security and should be seen as such. And they are not. And that's why I'm so hard on the general officers, because this whole COVID thing, Austin should have been rolled up for treason. His general officers should have escorted him down to Gitmo and staged a coup because it was destroying the readiness of the entire force. When the first soldier died from those shots, they should have pulled him off the, they literally should have pulled that right off the shelves and said, nope, no more. Let's find out what's going on, why it killed somebody. Instead, they were all silent, pushing people out of the service that weren't getting the jab. Blind to the fact that it was killing soldiers. That's dereliction of duty. And as far as I'm concerned, that's Article 106, aiding the enemy, or maybe it's 104. The point is, none of these general officers have stood up and said anything, and none of them are standing up saying anything. Like, why would you put four tech executives in uniform and make them lieutenant colonels? It's one thing to do that with the doctor and put them in uniform and make them medical doctors, because they don't have, as a field grade, I outrank a one star that's a medical doctor. But to tell me that you put four tech execs, never had security clearances, yeah, I'd say there's a threat to national security there by the oligarch that's suggesting that. And I don't care who it is. None of them should be above the law. And the fact that they are is a huge problem. It's why guys like Sergey Brin can work with China in the open and doesn't get arrested for treason. You know, the McCarthy era, when they were going after people and destroying their lives because they were communists, that was the right thing to do, because it was an existential threat. And look at how bad it is now, because we've allowed this communist mind virus to invade literally all of our media, a good portion of our state and local governments in blue cities. And Reagan warned us about it, literally warned us about it in the 60s. And here we are. And the fact that we have oligarchs that are working with our adversary, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. But at the end of the day, are they going to do anything about it? Probably not. But that's why I've been so hard on the general officers, because nobody's called it out. I mean, look at Doge, right? Doge, somebody in DOD should have said, wait a second, why are we letting these uncleared people into our networks? Even if it's an unclassified network, why are we letting these people in? What are they trying to do? Right? They should have been cleared American citizens. Because look, if any of us would have done that, gone into a U.S. network and we were uncleared, we'd be in prison. And yet these oligarchs continue to work to do things with impunity. And like, why is there no oversight of Bill Gates's operations? How is this guy allowed to mess with mosquitoes and release them on the public and not go to prison? Are you telling me there's absolutely no oversight and legal ramification for him to release, you know, and who knows what they bred these mosquitoes to do, right? It's just one example. First, Gates was in education. He gave us Common Core, which completely fucked over two entire generations. Then he got into pharma. Now he's into food. At what fucking point does somebody in the general officer ranks look at this and go, this guy's a fucking problem? Everywhere he goes, he creates death and chaos. Why is this guy still walking around? None of them ask the question. That's a problem. Because if you're a senior leader in the military and you can't identify a national security threat in your own backyard, you don't belong in uniform. You shouldn't even be wearing the rank. In fact, I'll go even farther and say, if you can't call it out, then not only are you a coward, but you're a fucking retard. Because what these guys have done, just in the single-family housing market, just what BlackRock's done by purchasing land. And look, if you go back to 2008 when Obama came to town, again, another opportunity for general officers to stand up and say, you know what? These bankers broke the public trust. Why hasn't somebody been held accountable? But they literally watched foreclosures happen, took possession of the property, and then sat on it so that the inventory, and kept the inventory low for like 3 years to drive the prices up. Then the private equity firms came in and started purchasing single family homes at 0% interest, jacking the prices up even higher. And nobody in the general officer ranks said, hey, we got a problem here. If our soldiers, sailors, and Marines can't go buy an affordable house in their local area and can't find a place to live, that impacts the force. And nobody even looked at it and said anything. But the real coup de grace was the fact that these vaccine mandates were pushed on our soldiers, and not one of those fucking gutless turds stood up and said, and not one general officer, not one. It was lieutenant colonels that stood up, and all of them got thrown out. And I'm pretty sure Brad Miller still hasn't been offered either retroactive or anything else. And he's in the same camp I'm in, which is, it's not true justice until these people go to fucking Gitmo and break rocks. And I mean every goddamn one of them, all the way down to captain. Every feckless officer that pushed soldiers out for not getting the vaccine mandates, you motherfuckers are all going to prison. Every single one of you was aiding the enemy. And I don't care if you're West Point. I don't give a shit if you went to a service academy. If you were pushing soldiers out for not getting the jab and watching people die so you could further your career, you better hope that I don't put on a fucking uniform, because I'll kneel you down and put a bullet in your fucking head for treason. My God, that's why I'm so hard on general officers, because all of these pieces of shit stood there time after time after time. He didn't say a fucking word while they're watching the entire country get raked over the coals by all of these freaking oligarchs. And it's not just the tech bros. It's the bankers in New York. It's the old money. All these people knew what they were doing. Like, why didn't somebody step in and literally take Dick Cheney out when he was in power? He does an energy summit, closed door, at the White House on like day four of the Bush administration. And then miraculously, Enron has rolling brownouts through California literally 2 weeks later. And nobody even stood up and said, hey, that might be a problem. And here's another example of that. In 2010, we were at Yeah, it was a cyber symposium down at Naval Postgraduate School. And I gave a presentation about SCADA systems and how vulnerable SCADA systems were. and how imperative it was that we harden all of our SCADA systems, especially SCADA systems with the water supply. And literally, I had two Navy O6s walk up to me afterwards and said, you can't be talking about this shit. And I looked at him like, why? It's a problem. You can't be talking about this. This is something that could give our enemy information. I'm like, hey, dumbass, our enemy already knows it. That's why I'm talking about it, because they've already attacked it, dumbass. But that tells you exactly where the problem lies. They don't, these general officers have been bred not to talk about this. And that's a problem, because your job as a general officer is to see a national security threat and make sure people are actually doing something to action it, or at least you raise enough noise so people know it's a fucking problem. I want to know why none of these general officers watched their troops injured and killed by a vaccine did not stand up. And if you're listening to this and you're a GO, I fucking challenge you. In fact, I dare you to come on this show and try and explain yourself. And I spent 3 years trying to get GOs to come on the show just to talk about the current situation. None of them would do it. So as far as I'm concerned, they're all a bunch of feckless cowards. They belong in prison. Fuck them. All of them. Fuck them. And after the Afghanistan withdrawal, where we left a lot of Afghans to be killed by the Taliban, and not just the 13 Marines that were killed. Sorry, all bets are off. You had your opportunity and you fucked that up. And because you fucked that up, there's no redeeming. And the fact that you all spent the next 2 years covering your asses, I'm sorry, but every GO that was even remotely touching the Afghan withdrawal, you motherfuckers need to go to Leavenworth and do hard time. The lack of accountability was absolutely appalling. You should, every single one of them should be tried for dereliction of duty, as far as I'm concerned. Every one of them. But it shows you just how corrupt the whole GO Corps is. And now they're all pissing and whining because the Secretary of War went in there and said, get slim or get out. You're all disgusting fat bodies. I didn't see anything wrong with his speech. Like, I couldn't stuff my uniform right now if I wanted to. And trust me, I don't want to. Because the only way I'm going back is if I can bust heads. Because I won't stand for any of the bullshit that they're dealing with right now. Back to a real fighting force. But it is what it is. But that's why I've been so hard on general officers, because I've just been appalled. I've never seen so much cowardice in my life. It's unbelievable. And look, everybody that does this, it goes out on a podcast and talks about the topics that nobody wants to talk about, and the Bannon and Jack Posobiec and the rest of those, you know, malcontents that are owned by somebody won't talk about because it's kryptonite. We all put our lives on the line doing that. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm not suicidal. I'm not crazy, but I'm not. Because the fuck out. It's very simple. But it was that the whole Q genre was about keeping people, it was Pied Piper, was keeping people at home while they stole the 2020 election. Everybody was at home masturbating over the latest post, master debating about what it meant. Meanwhile, Mossad and MI6 and all the rest were stealing the election. And that to me, when I called that out, you'd be surprised at death threats. I had people saying, I'm going to show up at your door with a rifle. I'm like, you better be, better bring a lot of ammo, motherfucker, because I think I have more weapons than you. But that was routine for months. And anybody that's calling this shit out, they're going through the same thing. Because first they go after your reputation, then they do, and they do the death threats at the same time. Then they just try and just thing that you're posting. My point of saying all this is, I'm going to keep talking about general officers until there's actual justice, until some of these feckless cowards are actually rolled up. And I'm not going to stop, just like I'm going after Kash Patel because I don't buy the whole, Taylor Robbins or whatever that guy's name is, the lone shooter. That whole narrative, horseshit, every bit of it. I'm not even sure Charlie Kirk's dead. I'm pretty sure that could be staged CGI as well. And then there's the whole Trump rally that was the memorial service. Like, why would the president get up at a Trump rally and talk about some bullshit, announcement about fucking Tylenol in his office the next day when he's at a memorial for somebody? I was sitting there thinking while he was talking, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Are you seriously talking about your own political agenda at a memorial service? But that's the clown show we live in. That's why I'm going after him. And I'm not going to give it up, and you shouldn't either. But the signal in all of this is what's going on with food. That's where the signal's at right now. Pay attention to that. If you can have extra food, have extra food. If you can store it, do it. Now's the time. I'll be back. I'm doing another Substack show tomorrow night. Probably kick off at 4 o'clock again. Somehow those shows go a lot easier because, I'm just using an iPad. I don't have to deal with StreamYard. And we'll be back with the roundtable on Thursday, assuming there's no 35 or 40 minutes of cursory IT setup to get the goddamn show running. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.